Trumpinator Part 3. Welcome to This Present Truth program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today is April the 13th, 2026, Monday. Trumpinator Part 3. This will be the final part. These three programs are centered on three families: the Rothschilds of Europe, the Rockefellers, and Jesse James, alias William Andrews Clark, in the United States. Podcasts are archived on thispresenttruth.com. My contact information, Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. The United States, at its beginning, as I concluded the last program, Isaiah chapter 47, America was baptized into witchcraft at its beginning, and what kept the spells and the occult activity in the United States suppressed up into the present, until the present, was the religious people, God's people, coming from Europe into the United States to settle in this country, to build this country. Initially, it was the Christian influence that made America, that set the base for what America could be. It was a blessed nation. Education was blessed. Industry was blessed. The land was blessed. The government was blessed, even though at the beginning, even going back to before Washington, there the children of the devil that had come over on the Mayflower, the children of darkness, were already attempting to, you might say, take the strings, the ropes, the cables that would eventually give direction to this country. They were at work already. But there was a very unique plan for the United States of America that was planned by God, which is easily understood in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, seven lampstands of God, which would be all of the seven churches, which were six, were basically birthed in Europe or Eastern Europe, Asia, so Southern Asia, and into Turkey. Six of the seven lampstands had their beginnings, their genesis, in Europe. There was one of the lampstands, the last, called Laodicea. It would be unique, different from the other family members. It could not exist as a church in Europe. The country that would protect its early existence would be the United States of America. All of the other religions, the established religions of Europe, would have killed what we call the evangelical churches of the United States of America. They would not have gone along with the spirit-filled, new church or group of believers, even though, well, let me continue. What is unique for the United States of America would be the evangelical churches. The religion of America, the base of the American religion or Christ-centered belief system, would be the evangelical churches. It would not be Catholicism, even though Catholicism would jump the ocean, the Lutheran Church, Anglican Church, all the other denominations, the Greek churches, they would jump the ocean. But the United States, the ground of this country would be the gospel, preaching of the gospel, the freedoms that our Constitution provides for the religions, a land that would be blessed. There are many, many things about America that would appeal to the Catholic Church, Lutheran churches, all the other denominations, the laws of this country. But the laws of this country, biblically speaking, were set in place for the evangelical churches of the United States of America. And in a coming persecution, yes, the Catholic people, the Lutheran people, the Episcopalians, the Anglicans, the Greek churches, they will all be persecuted, but not like the evangelical Christians, because evangelical Christians have a different type of a understanding of the scripture and the plan that God has for mankind that is not structured like all the major denominations. That's what makes the evangelical churches different in America. This is why when we became a nation, immediately there was a, throughout the whole country, there was a foundation of genuine Christianity. There was, of course, there would be opposition to that, but generally, like I had stated in previous programs, all of the main systems of education at the college level were set in place by Christian educators. The government was influenced by the teachings of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, the teachings of Christ in the Gospels, and the teachings of the other apostles, and the base of the teachings of Moses, the Ten Commandments. And that is what made America different, a blessed nation, a nation that would hold a golden cup. And God says that we would hold a golden cup in our hand, which would be a blessing to the nations. And there would be an innocence to a great degree, a quality like with young children, a purity to the country, innocence, living by conscience. But as a nation, as we would grow older, we get into the, you know, with each step in life, you become more, a person becomes more evil because they forget the teachings of their youth, the innocency of their youth, the purity of their youth, and they become evil. At its end, the United States will be pure evil. This is where we are presently. And the people of the country, the majority, would be, there'd be no longer the fear of God. The people of the country would look to the government as God, to the government to provide, enjoyment. So from the beginning, there would be conflict. At its end, great conflict. So, what happened is, like I presented in the first and second part, part one, part two, of Trumpinator, Donald Trump presently is, you might say, the wall that is holding back for a little while longer what America is going to become. the plan for the United States by the globalists, the people that are anti-Christ, anti-God, that are humanist, that are not only humanist, but they are pagan in their conduct and their belief systems. Donald Trump, agree or disagree, has been the president that has temporarily been, you might say, keeping the children of the devil, if you want to phrase it that way, which I do. These people are evil. They worship God. They worship mammon. They worship power. And they are a system to themselves. And anything that you might say stands in their way, they will destroy. They will use the laws of the land, the IRS, they'll use the military, they'll use secret societies, they'll use assassinations, whatever is convenient for them. Going back to 1889, right in that vicinity, in that time period, the Rothschild family in Europe were looking to gain a foothold in the United States. They had, for the most part, conquered all of Western Europe, and now the threat to Europe, to the royal families, to the royalty, to the oligarchs, to the governments, was the United States of America, not just the United States of America, but the Christian America, the true religion. There's false religion, there's true religion, to those who did worship God in spirit and in truth, honestly, in the heart. This was the threat to the Rothschilds of Europe, and the individuals that basically ruled and were put in place to rule Europe, France, England, Spain, Germany, etc. The threat was the United States of America, so the Rothschilds were looking for help, and they found the help in two individuals, either Jesse James, who was still alive, in 1889, he was roughly 50 years old, I believe, and also John D. Rockefeller. Now, I'm going to present something that may be odd to you. The Rothschilds, their base and their foundation, not just wealth, but a belief system in the occult, in the other world, in a world that is foreign to true Christianity. Not foreign in the sense that it's not understood, but it is hidden. Both of these individuals, Jesse James, a.k.a. William Andrews Clark, and John D. Rockefeller, Sr., these men were in secret societies. Jesse James was a Freemason. He was involved in the death of four presidents. And I'll just mention the presidents that he had a hand in assassinating: Abraham Lincoln, James Garfield, William McKinley, and Warren G. Harding. He was involved in the assassination of these four presidents. This is the power that William Andrews Clark, a.k.a. Jesse James, or Jesse James, a.k.a. William Andrews Clark, had. At the same time, the Rockefeller family, they had already been in business internationally in China, selling kerosene oil, eventually lanterns to the Chinese. Then they have the oil. They strike oil in Ohio, and they have other interests. So these two individuals were exactly who the Rothschild family was looking for, and then, more importantly, the Rothschilds in the world of witchcraft, the secret societies, will never work with true Christian people because they know the Spirit of God is too powerful and nothing can be hidden. And Junior, with John D. Rockefeller, he wasn't necessarily a religious man. His wife was. So she trained Junior to be, you know, to tithe, to be a good person, to be a penny pincher, to take the old term out of the Christian. We want to, the Christian people should be frugal with their money. They want to be spendthrifts. Well, John D. Rockefeller Jr. was such a person. I do not believe, now that history will prove, that they were actually true born-again believers, Christians. Jesse James, his father, which would be his stepfather, because his real father, his mother was pregnant while his father was at a distance. He was a preacher. And when the preacher, supposedly Jesse James' father, found out that the wife, I think her name was Zelda, had an affair, and Jesse James was born through that affair, he left Missouri and went to the gold fields in California to hide. Supposedly he died. He may have just taken another name so he could continue in ministry. But once he found out that Zelda had an affair, it was too much. It really would ruin his calling as a pastor. So that is, in a nutshell. So there was some religious upbringing to Jesse James and Frank James's brother. But eventually, there had to be a decision by the Rothschild family in Europe. I believe that they offered Jesse James a partnership to be the individual, the family that would rule the United States of America. Jesse James was wanted for not only for robbing trains, but for murder, many other things. He declined. He decided he passed on the offer. Whereas John D. Rockefeller, with the possibility of having the Rothschilds supply and help him, maybe he didn't need the money, but initially there might have been an injection of funds to kind of get the momentum moving. And John D. Rockefeller Sr., I believe, took up the offer. He responded positively. And then by 1889, I have read articles, the Rockefeller family owned New York City. Now, Jesse James, his base initially was Las Vegas, Nevada. Later on, the county, Clark County, where Las Vegas sits in this county, was the county named after William Andrews Clark, meaning Jesse James. Jesse James initially funded the railroad from California, L.A., to Las Vegas, from Las Vegas to the west around, up to Salt Lake City, out of his own money, out of his own purse. He named the streets in the old downtown area. Jesse James, he ruled the town, the chief of police, the sheriff, the casinos, the prostitutes, the judge, the attorneys, the railroad, basically the mercantile stores. Everything belonged to Jesse James. he controlled the whole city. By 1889, the Rockefeller family owned New York City. The rail systems, the judges, the city council, the mayor, police, just like Jesse James, same pattern in New York City. Christ said that nothing will be hidden that won't be brought out into the open, exposed, and presented and talked about. There is a cosmic principle. It has to happen. Even Satan himself with his children cannot stop it. They may not like it. They may try to interfere with the truth, but it is a principle in the spiritual realm. The things that Christ said were to be allowed must be allowed. Nothing will be hidden. Everything will be brought out openly. It's like the farmers' markets. Everything is on tables in the open for everyone that is coming to purchase tomatoes or corn or whatever to view, because it is a principle of free will. And if people are doing things behind in the government that is not being presented, that works against free will, this is a violation of the laws of God himself, the laws of conscience. So everything has to be eventually known. Through the medical industry, we now have found the birth rate or the growth rate of embryos in a womb. And this is one of the signs of the end of the world. All knowledge will just expand to the point where you're going to be able to look at bones, to look at a crack in a bone, to look at a tumor in the brain, to look at a child in the womb, to watch the fingers grow, to watch the eyes that are bulging eventually take their shape inside the skull. Everything will be made known. And by 1889, the Rockefeller family owned New York City. Again, the whole city. Everything that occurred. All the precincts. All the judges in the precincts. The mayor, again. Now, Jesse James would fade out of the picture, and the Rockefellers would now take center stage from 1880s to the 90s to the turn of the century. I believe somewhere around 1910, if not even sooner, this family, the Bible says that nations are ruled by families. Families eventually. It is the 12 children of Israel that actually rule over the nation of Israel. Is there an outside force? Are there an outside powers, political powers that are trying to take the nation of Israel a direction that the Bible says it shouldn't go? Yes. But eventually, the millennial kingdom will be a kingdom ruled by 12 families. And the nations of the world will all have their own acreage to dwell on, but they will know that God is, his throne is in Jerusalem, in Israel. That's a topic for another day. So eventually, by about 1910, a family began its ownership of America, of the boundaries from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the Gulf of now America and Mexico to Canada. A family began ownership. And the family, nothing that would happen in this country would be hidden to that family. The family's tentacles, you might say, would be just like the Rothschild family. All five boys had a bank in one of the countries in Europe, France and England and Venice and Germany. They had banks, so they knew everything that was happening in each of their vicinities. Well, through modern technology, this family, I have been reading, and I have books that prove that this family has been involved in everything from CO2, from climate change, computers, Facebook, all of the modern, basically media, television, radio, every communication satellite, the military. There isn't a part, there isn't one part of the, what would you call it, agency within the United States government that this family is not involved in overseeing. Continuity of government put in place by Jimmy Carter for the family. This way that throughout all of the different divisions of government in this country, agriculture, parks departments, you name it, continuity of government, presidents would place individuals in every one of these positions throughout the country, finance, etc., and would control or would oversee these departments. And at any time, the family could, through the computer, get an update on what was happening in, let's say, Utah, in Zion National Park, with uranium exploration or oil or gas pockets or water to the Colorado River, the Green River, Missouri River, the Mississippi. They have access to everything. This is what the Bible basically states, that eventually there would be a country that would be like no other country, and it would be the property of a family. Russia is the property of, it was at one time, families. England, we can see in principle, Charlie, King Charles and his children, families. The family, the Queen of England, the King of England, they do have deep ties with the government. The United States is different. The government has ties to a family. And with the Rockefeller family, the foundations, this is the best way to rule, to own, and give direction to a nation. There was a book recently that came out, Rockefeller, Controlling the Game. And the author, his name is Jacob Nordengard. I think he's Swedish. But he exposes the workings of the Rockefeller family. The driving force behind every aspect of modern globalization, which was a comment by Patrick Wood. And they could try, they have tried, they have almost succeeded in hiding their power and their wealth. I was looking at an article today that was saying, the question was, why haven't the Rockefeller family, why aren't they trillionaires? Well, that is misleading in itself. They've been trillionaires for half a century, at least. They're way on their way. They could pay every debt in this country, no problem. They could give every person in this country $1 million, no problem. They're invested in IBM and Facebook and every single major corporation, making ketchup, plowing land, farm equipment, you name it. They're invested in everything. There's not one great investment that they don't have a part of. When the computer, IBM, they've invested in IBM. You name it. I should just sit down and start naming what they're invested in. So they rule the United States. They actually were involved in the plans for World War I, the strategies for oil in the Middle East, strategies for oil in not only the Middle East, in Africa, Vietnam, South America. There was another book written years ago, Thy Kingdom Come, and the book is out of print. But the pattern they follow with the Rothschilds is almost identical. And what I mean by that is the Rothschilds, they had five boys that ruled five of the countries through the banks. And then you had John D. Rockefeller. Then he had John D. Rockefeller Jr. And I looked up the history. So John D. Rockefeller Sr. was married to Laura Spelman Rockefeller. And they had three children, Bessie Rockefeller, Alta Rockefeller, and John D. Rockefeller Jr. Jr. had two wives, Abby Aldrich Rockefeller, and then later Martha Baird Rockefeller. Martha didn't have any children. Abby gave birth to Abby Rockefeller, the daughter, just one daughter, but five boys. Nelson Rockefeller, Winthrop Rockefeller. Nelson was the oldest. Winthrop was next oldest. Actually, Lawrence Spelman Rockefeller was the next oldest. And I'm sorry, let me go in line here. In order, sorry. Okay, firstly, Abby Rockefeller, born 1903. John D. Rockefeller III, 1906. Nelson Aldrich Rockefeller, 1908. Lawrence Spelman Rockefeller, 1910. Winthrop Rockefeller, 1912. David Rockefeller, who passed away recently, 1915. Five boys to run the empire. This is just the way it is. This is my view. Now, Nelson, eventually during World War II, he oversaw everything happening in South America. He was the individual that basically, you know, watched what was happening south of the border. The it is believed that, and I do to research, Nelson may be the father of, he could be the only individual that would be the father of Hillary Clinton. Winthrop Rockefeller would be the father, his wife, the boy would be Bill Clinton. So they are cousins. And John D. Rockefeller Sr., he was kind of a not squeaky clean, but Nelson was pretty active. In fact, he died in his office late on a Friday night with his secretary. Winthrop was promiscuous also, so this may have been Bill Clinton's father. And the only of these five brothers, the only one that would possibly be Hillary Clinton's father would be Nelson. That's not here, not there. These five boys would be the corporation, would be the company that would own the United States of America. In the book, Thy Will Be Done, The Conquest of the Amazon, Nelson Rockefeller and Evangelism in the Age of Oil. And Nelson, their plan was very simple. They would go onto Indian land, take the Christian churches, tell the Indian people that Christ is not concerned about wealth in this lifetime, but spiritual growth and the inheritance that people will get in the coming kingdom. So with that, a lot of the, many of the Indian tribes would give up their oil rights, give up their mineral rights, the rights to whatever was in the ground, using a biblical concept of, you know, we're not to seek riches in this life, but we are to give to the poor and all the, you know, the Christian lingo, but give your wealth away. Well, your wealth, this is the birthright of the families of the continent and the families in the Amazon. They did this through evangelical churches that had missionaries that would go into Brazil, into the jungle, and the Baptists or the evangelical missionaries would go in to a little tribe of, let's say, 50, 80 people and find out who the leader of the tribe was, how many leaders there were, and then eventually they would take their documentation back to their main board, and the government had passed laws that the main boards would have that documentation available for the United States government. So the United States government, it would be a equivalent to a CIA operation using evangelical missionaries to scout, be the scouts through their ministries to go into these little cities or the little villages and then eventually turn over their rights to their land, to their minerals, to the Rockefeller family. This was a strategy. It worked. It was a great strategy, a brilliant strategy. But this family took the birthright of these tribes and the people, the future prosperity of these tribes, the Indian tribes here in the United States and in other countries of the world, in Asia, South America, Africa, and take the birthright of the people of these areas. They own this country presently. And I felt that I've been considering doing this topic for years, and I figured it's probably time to do it. This country is owned by a family. I have mentioned this to friends, to other in other programs, but to make it real. And with because of the internet, what has happened is everything that had been concealed is now basically being revealed. The Rockefeller family has worked with, since the late 1800s, with the power structure of Europe. there came a point where the plans of this family, like the OPEC oil deals, this was a Rockefeller plan. Brzezinski, Carter, their main go-to guy, the Rockefeller's main two guy because of his gifting in the occult, Henry Kissinger, Brzezinski too, they put the OPEC plan in place. I think a couple of years ago, Saudi Arabia decided they're not going to continue. This was a mechanism, a major international mechanism of control. The Trilateral Commission during the Jimmy Carter administration. Carter was used in a handsome way for this family. Carter had mental issues when he was young, and he has a kind of disposition where he doesn't like conflict, so he's basically willing to go along in his disposition. He's willing to take the least turbulent waters, which he did. So because of that, you have the Trilateral Commission, you have OPEC. What was the other major one? You have the continuity of government put in place by Christine Marcy. A brilliant, brilliant girl involved in the occult. Brilliant. Her brother's name was Field McConnell. She puts together this plan of all of these different parts of all the agencies in the U.S. government, top to bottom, A to Z. The president has a power to appoint the leaders. They don't have to work up to rank. Let's say in the Farm Bureau, somebody that's been there for 30 years working his way up, all of a sudden he's going to be promoted to the head of that agency, and the president puts somebody else in who is loyal to the politics of the president, and the person that should be in that position to run that aspect of that agency is basically not promoted. Not basically, isn't promoted. This was continuity of government. Then with Reagan, don't think Reagan was innocent. He wasn't. He just had a different view on how to bring in the New World Order. There are some, like Henry Kissinger. Kissinger wanted the New World Order to come in just incrementally, slowly, step by step. Whereas the others in the movement, in the objectives of the New World Order, they wanted it like the Clintons. They want it now. They want to hurry it up. They don't want to hesitate. They want to proceed full speed ahead. So you had within this plan for a new world government, New World Order, you had the two conflicting views on how to get to the finish line. And Kissinger was to some degree in the way. But still, the family needed him because he had abilities where he could go into a meeting with, let's say, those during the energy crisis in 1974. He could go in, sit down with the Arab groups, mesmerize them, get what he wanted. Some of the Arab people, they refused to go sit in a meeting with Kissinger. They refused. They said, he will hypnotize us. The way he speaks, you'll be hypnotized. And we don't want to go along with the plan, and we'll walk out having signed the papers. And that's exactly what happened. So, the family needs the brightest and the most powerful in the occult world to further the objectives of that kingdom. And Donald Trump, Trumpinator, was not part of the plan. Eventually, the those that were in the occult plan at the time that Trump was running against Hillary Clinton, I believe through their prophets, there are prophets in the occult, in the covens. They have their prophets. They have their apostles. They have their prophets. They have their pastors, evangelists, their teachers. They took the exact same plan that Christ had with the 12 disciples and with the disciples in the countryside. They took the exact same blueprint and they use it in the coven meetings, in the coven gatherings, in their ritual sacrifice. These people, when Donald Trump ran against Hillary Clinton, I watched these debates. I was watching the third debate. Hillary Clinton, she knew she didn't have a chance. She has never, ever had to go toe-to-toe in a debate with anyone like Donald Trump. If it would have been Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, if it would have been, who were the others that were running? It's been a while. Yeah, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Ben Carson, Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, Lindsey Graham. Man, it's been a long time since I looked at these people. Donald Trump. So, and Chris Christie. Well, do you think, excluding Donald Trump, there is no one, Huckabee, no one, that would have been able to stand on that stage and debate Hillary Clinton? Nobody. There's only one individual on that platform that could have debated her and beat her hip and thigh all three debates. Trump didn't win 2 out of 3. No, Donald Trump beat her 3 out of 3, hands down, and she didn't have a choice. She didn't have a chance, I mean. Now, there was an individual that worked for Bill Clinton, Larry Nichols. Larry Nichols, before he passed away, he came out. He became a Christian. He had to tell the truth. Hillary Clinton was involved in a satanic coven in California. She would fly to California. Larry Nichols found out about this and told Bill, "Do you know what that's going to do to your campaign? If people find out that she's going out to meet with the coven of witches?" And a lady called me on the radio one day after the radio program, and she told me the name of the coven is the Church of the Hateful Witches in California. I couldn't believe it. But this lady, I could tell that she wasn't just, you know, she was very highly educated. She was very involved in knowing female candidates, and she knew. I believe she was a Christian, and she told me, don't give out my name. I told her I wouldn't, but she said the name of the coven that Hillary meets with is in California, the Church of the Hateful Witches. Nothing will be hidden. It can't be hidden. The truth has to come out. It's demanded to the occult world by God. If they want power, if they want, you know, to have their way, they have to, for the sake of, they cannot violate the conscience or the free will of mankind. Mankind needs to know the truth so that mankind can make a decision to take a path that leads to righteousness or a path that leads to unrighteousness, to godliness or to evil. On that stage, somehow the prophets of behind the Democratic Party let Hillary know that Donald Trump was going to become president. And there's nothing they could do except try to find a way to work with Trump to get into his administration, into his cabinet, to, from a distance, control him through other operatives that are in the coven, the main coven. I believe, if I'm correct, Bill Clinton is in a coven called the Tikkun Coven, T-I-K-K-U-N Coven. And I had read that. I have seen it in other places. I think I heard one person mention it. But they are both Hillary and Bill are Illuminati. And after the second election of Bill, Hillary was, according to reports from Secret Service, he was with Jack Nicholas spending the night. He fell down the stairs. It is suspected that Hillary pushed him down the stairs late at night. He might have had one martini. I'm sure only one. And I'm sure there wasn't any other pharmaceuticals involved. And he sprained his knee. And you could see him with a limping when he go before the press when he was president. And Hillary had a visit one day. And somebody told her, Hillary, we have placed Bill in the position as president. Leave him alone. You have a greater, higher satanic rank in the Illuminati than he does, but he's our choice. So leave him alone, or there's going to be some trouble. Whoever it was put the fear of the devil in Hillary, and according to the account, she took Chelsea, went to Africa to do some charity work. She left him alone. There was no problem with Bill and Hillary after that day. This is what happens behind the scenes in another aspect of the government of this country that people are not aware of. Donald Trump, God has allowed him to be there. I'm going to give you the reference again. Revelation chapter 17, verse 10. There are five kings that are fallen. One king that is, it's Barack Obama. One king that is yet to come, he's number seven, Donald Trump. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. So that short space began in 2016, when he won the election, when he was inaugurated in 2017 in January. His space began. Obama's period ended. And I'm, in my view, his time, Barry Satoro's time in the future will return. He will once again return to power. I mentioned this, and I have had to think about this. This is completely crazy. This is out of control, maybe. Out of my mind. No, I'm not out of my mind. This is true. And I present it because this way, in the future, as things begin to shift, which they're shifting now, President Trump, is coming to the final period of his short space. He must continue for a short space. no matter what comes at him, no matter what challenges he may have, no matter what forces there are in the natural world, in the spiritual world, he must continue. And there will come a time when that day will come where he will be dismissed by God from duty. Joe Biden was a continuation of Barry Satoro, period. It was not a Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. They were basically there to keep the corporation intact until, I believe, Barry Satoro can return again. But Donald Trump is the noble king, the noble president, the honorable president. He doesn't think so. He doesn't even think he's going to end up in heaven. Well, most Christians don't even know they're born again, and they don't know that they're going to go to heaven, though they don't have any idea. For 2.5 years, I didn't know I was born again. Finally, when I eventually gave my life to the Lord and God asked me to stay in a certain fellowship, then I understood what it meant to be born again. And it took me 2.5 years to understand that. I knew something had changed. Trump knows there's been a change. But in October of 2025, he said, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make heaven. So he had to contemplate about his afterlife. And in a video, he responded to the question from Fox News' Peter Ducey about that statement that he had made, saying he thought ending the war in Ukraine would help him get into heaven. He said, I'm being a little cute, and I'm reading from Fox News, Fox Channel 5, District of Columbus. Criminals. I'm being a little cute. I don't think there's anything that's going to happen to me in heaven. I think I'm not maybe heaven bound, Trump said. I may be in heaven right now as we fly on Air Force One. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make heaven, but I made a life a lot better for a lot of people. True. So reporters have been asking the question about Trump's purported record on ending wars around the world. He can't. These wars have to take place. He is the individual, the president, that has set in motion the coming plan for two things. Number one, the end of the regional war with Israel, the Gaza, Lebanon, Syrian, Jordan war. Israel isn't finished. They have to complete that war, Psalm 83. Then Iran has been triggered now because they are hellbound on having a way in which to destroy Israel. That's just a fact. Trump did have to go in, and that is setting the stage for Iran to leadership, probably not in country, to run to Russia, to Turkey, to Azerbaijan, to Armenia, to put together a strategy as a bloc of nations that will attack Israel, and the battle will take place in present-day Jordan. But first, the Gaza / Psalm 83 regional conflict must be finished, must come to an end. It's not done yet. Up the road, Russia. Putin, it is said, may not be well. He may have blood cancer. I'll discuss it tomorrow or next program. But for now, podcast thispresenttruth.com. Thispresenttruth.com. Mailing information, Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. So, I don't think I'm going to have a part four, but I possibly may. But until then, may the Lord Jesus Christ be peace to your mind. Yes, it's coming, but not yet. Bye.